It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, it is me, your host, Dustin Meadows. You may have noticed we have been a little bit behind schedule, been on something of a hiatus. The last month has been fairly busy, fairly hectic. Me and one of our guests just finished recording an album. So that kind of took up a large chunk of our month, but we are finally back, hopefully back on track following this episode moving forward. So I'm going to get right into it. Today I am joined by a couple of good friends. First off, Travis Irvine.
Hello, Dustin. I haven't seen you in a while.
Oh, yeah. It's been, a whole 2 days?
Whole 2 days.
Yeah. And also, at this point, almost the unofficial co-host of the podcast by now. I think he's been on 3 of the 4 episodes we've done. Pat Deering.
Glad to be back.
Oh, glad to have you back, buddy. Oh, boy. Here we go. All right.
Hot show.
And today we watched The Edge, Lee Tamahori film. Written by David Mamet of Glengarry Glen Ross fame, and released in 1997. It's a nice little man versus nature film starring Anthony Hopkins, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin. I don't know why I thought William Baldwin. Alec
Billy.
Baldwin.
Yeah.
As well as for a little bit, Harold Perrineau, most well known probably as Michael from Lost.
Yeah.
Elle McPherson for 5 minutes, because sure. And then an old dude who I'm pretty sure was the crazy old dude in the Zorro movie with Anthony Hopkins as well. But that's neither here nor there. Also starring Bart the Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was great.
Wonderful. Movie basically follows Anthony Hopkins as this millionaire who gets stranded in the wilderness with guy photographing his model wife in the Alaskan wilderness, and in true Mamet fashion, instead of just letting it play out as man versus nature, there's a lot of man versus man thrown in the mix. Mm-hmm. This movie got kind of mixed reviews when it came out. I think I saw it had like a 60% on Rotten Tomato.
Yeah,
it's made $43 million at box office, which I can't imagine this movie was very expensive to make. So it was successful, at least, which is good. That's a pretty great film. So you guys have never seen it, so I got to ask, Travis, how have you not seen this?
That's a great question. It's probably because it's too violent and too many swear words and too much existential, relationship stuff in there for me to really get. But I remember my grandma loving this movie. So I actually remember my grandma always wanting to show me, and I don't know, maybe my mom put a stop to it or something, but grandma was like, you got to see this movie with the bear, Trav. And Anthony, I like him. I like Anthony Hopkins. That's how my grandma talked. This is a pretty spot-on grandma impression. So, unfortunately, I had to wait until she was dead to see it, and here I am. And it was really good. I really liked it. I don't think I would have appreciated it at 15 years old when it came out in the 90s. I think I appreciated it more today.
I'm pretty sure that's about when I saw it, was when it was on cable, I think, after it came out. So I saw it as a teenager. But I've just always, since I was young, I've had a thing for like man versus nature.
Oh, yeah. Jaws is my favorite movie.
Oh,
ever.
Great movie.
And I really appreciate the David Mamet twist on it with the existential crisis.
All the personal shit.
Yeah. And you know, that was in the original Jaws book.
Yes, yeah.
Sheriff Brody's wife was having an affair with Hooper.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the book, when Hooper gets eaten, all the, you know, it's kind of the same deal. All the hatred that Brody had for Hooper for schlepping his wife, it didn't matter anymore because he's eaten by a shark. And now Brody's got to kill the shark or something.
And he's got to deal with it. Yeah. I'm just curious. Why did your mom put a stop to you saying
this? I'm guessing. I actually really don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing because it was rated R and there are too many F words and stuff. Someone must have said at some point, I don't know if he would, you know, it's not quite just a killer bear movie, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if my mom put a stop to it. I'm just trying to figure out why
there's
we never watched it.
A lot of sexual anger in this film.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely not, it's not like a, you know, overly sexual movie or anything. Alec Baldwin says a lot of F words.
Oh yeah. A lot of swears,
but I don't know. I think I would have loved it as a horny teen.
Yeah,
back in the day with grandma hanging out.
A
with
cool horny teen.
Cool horny teen. So I don't know. I wish I had seen it, but again, I think it's all paid off.
There you go.
Waiting 20 years to do it.
Well, there you go. Pat, how have you not seen this?
I honestly had no idea that this movie existed until today. I had never even heard of it. In true Pat Deering fashion.
so let's rewind. Let's say go back to Pat Deering circa 97. What movies were on your radar? What were you watching
in 97? In 97, I was probably still coming home from grade school and watching Return of the Jedi on VHS every single day. I actually am pretty sure I still remember exactly what minute I could hit play after fast-forwarding through the garbage interview with George Lucas at the beginning of the VHS. 97. I'd been 9 in 97. So, I don't know, some like House of Mouse bullshit probably.
So I'm curious, so 97, now was this the special edition Return of the Jedi?
Ooh, it might have been. It was the VHS, it was a box set, and the very beginning of each one, some guy sat down and had an interview with George Lucas.
That sounds like the special edition.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Was there an extended musical number in Return of the Jedi?
No, it was before they re-released the
Okay, so you saw the original versions then?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. So that's weird cuz at 97, cuz that was the first time I actually saw Star Wars, cuz I'd only ever seen bits and pieces of it on USA, and then 97 they released that special edition box set.
Right.
So my mom bought that, and that's what I remember watching. So I saw the movies tainted upon my first viewing.
Yeah, no, I remember I accidentally just saw Empire Strikes Back on TV, and I thought that was it. I was like, it ends with the guy being frozen, and, you know, it was such a downer, and I just thought that was it. And then I found out later, years later, when I was 12, when they started re-releasing him, that there was more to the whole story.
It's like, really a great example of foreshadowing. Harrison Ford starts off real cold on an ice planet, winds up real cold.
In a
perfect
box.
Circle.
Just yeah.
It's like he was trying to get in a box on Hoth. Am I right? What's up? Paige and Princess Leia's vagina, what's up? Hot dog. Cool. So, that being said, we've gotten through it. Let's talk about the movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about 97. That was a lot of big, you know, there's Titanic. That was like English Patient. You know, they're already, so it probably got swamped in terms of,
oh, sure.
I think the other good movies.
Jackie Brown was that year as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think it got any, like, critical acclaim, but, I really dug it. I really liked, you know, anytime you got, I like you, I love a good man versus nature. And Alaska, I imagine, is where they shot it all, right? Is that where they were?
It's where it was set. I imagine it was probably shot there.
Yeah. And I just went to Alaska for the first time last year.
Yeah.
So I appreciate all the beautiful scenery and everything. I'm pretty sure that's what my grandma probably loved about it, too, was all the beautiful scenery. Just
all those mountain shots.
Yeah.
All those bird strikes flying into planes.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. And I just didn't see the whole affair thing with Alec Baldwin and Elle McPherson coming. I mean, you could tell they were hinting at it.
Sure.
But I didn't. I really thought they would, like, get over it. But then there's that weird part that, you know, after we're allowed to do spoiler alerts.
Yeah, absolutely.
After, you know, the whole time they're battling the bear, of course, the black man gets eaten by the bear, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
You know, you can't if you're black, you can't survive the wilderness, right? You can't survive a bear attack. So, of course, they got to feed him to the bear. And then when they're fighting the bear, I thought they were like all things were forgiven. And then you're right. It turns into a man versus man thing there when Hopkins realizes that Alec Baldwin was totally schlepping his wife and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so weird because it's like as soon as they're out of the wilderness and they kill that bear and then they find that place. And it's like as soon as they get back to society, that's when the society problems creep back in. Right, the are you or are you not sleeping with my wife, and are you jealous of me, and will you kill me? Oh, man. Yeah, that was good stuff. But then Alec Baldwin totally gets what's coming to him.
Yep. That's like one of my favorite things about this movie is like how unreserved Anthony Hopkins' character is and like his accusations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he doesn't tiptoe around it at all. Like Alec Baldwin, like when he's like, did I imagine, like, did you say how am I planning to kill you? And Anthony Hopkins is like, you're trying to fuck my wife. Like,
yeah.
Like, doesn't, like, he's like, oh no, you heard me wrong or anything. It's like, no, he owns it.
And I'd assumed it was a joke in the plane when he turned around. It was gonna be like, oh, so how are you gonna kill me then? But yeah. He was totally serious.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, very serious.
Yeah, I liked Anthony Hopkins' character too. In terms of like any, you know, I've met a couple millionaires. I don't think I've ever met a billionaire, but
yeah,
you know, there's something like there's some type of knowledge about them, right? He's got Anthony Hopkins knows all these cool things about like how you make fire out of ice, mm-hmm. and you can season meat with gunpowder, and they're just kind of like he's a man of the world, you know, and that's kind of how he survived. He's got that mentality of we are not going to die here. Oh, the dying of shame thing. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought they were going to say Alec Baldwin died of shame, which I really think he did at the end of the day, because he I think at that point he didn't want to go back to society. He couldn't live with himself. He knew he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like right when the helicopter, the chopper, yeah, the
like
chopper.
They were free, like they were there.
He was right there.
That was the home stretch.
And he turns around and he's like, I can't go back.
Over. He's like, nope.
Oh man, wow.
Yeah, that was a sucker punch for me watching this, because like obviously like as soon as he falls into that deadfall, like when he's about to kill Anthony Hopkins, it's like, yeah, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
But then like after like he's taking him back on the boat and he's talking to him,
Hopkins
like,
is trying to save him.
Yeah, like. And he even, like, he has that moment where he's like, you're my only friend.
Yeah.
It's like, it can't be easy for someone like him to make friends, because how do you know who actually likes you and who's just hanging around because you fucking fly him to Alaska or you throw dope parties or whatever?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, and Bob's the, like, especially that experience, like, has bonded them. Like, he even makes him, like, the bear claw necklace.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't suppose you made me one of those. He's like, of course I did. Like, yeah. We killed a bear together. Why wouldn't I make you a matching bear claw friendship necklaces?
Yeah.
Yeah, your only friend in the world is the one that's slipping it to your wife.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Feels that way sometimes, don't it?
Yeah. so it was like the bear was a better friend.
Yeah, right?
At least he was straightforward about trying to kill him and everything.
Oh, yeah. Bear is like, hey, I eat people. Like, it's my thing now. Like, I'm stalking you. Like, yeah. I could give a fuck about your wife, man. I just, like, I kill people. It's what I do now.
Yeah. There's so many existential, like, when they caught the one little squirrel, and then that's what caused them to miss the first chopper mm-hmm. going by. There's just like, yeah, there's so many little things. And you know, I've only been out in the wilderness so much, you know, mm-hmm. I used to work in the Bahamas, and the only time I remember really thinking I was going to die was, scuba diving one time when I don't know, something went wrong. And I, you know, when you're down there at the bottom of the sea with all, the singing crustaceans and everything and the hot mermaids, you know, you get caught up in it. And I just remember something went wrong with my equipment, and my first instinct was to swim 60 feet up to the top, which probably would have killed me.
Yeah, I'd say, if you surface that too panic, quickly, it fucks you up.
Oh,
right?
My God,
yeah.
that brief panic of, oh, my, like, it really, but luckily the dive master, like, held me there and, like, gave me his air supply and, like, got my breathing under control, and, whew, man, you know. So those moments where they're, like,
sure,
all of them, you know, the black guy, Michael from Lost, of course.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. Hopkins was the only one who never really had a moment where he started to panic.
He was just in control from the rip.
Yeah.
Like even when they crashed, like Alec Baldwin, like he checks the pilot and then he fucking like shoots
bolts
out of there.
Yeah.
Like,
and Anthony Hopkins saves the black guy.
Yeah.
Only to eventually lose him again to Alec Baldwin's incompetence.
Yeah, that's...
He told Alec Baldwin to bury the bloody rag.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And that's why Michael from Lost gets eaten.
Oh, and that's the fucked up thing too. Is like Alec Baldwin at no point shows any remorse for that.
Yeah,
like, at no point is he.
They
like,
don't address it either.
Yeah,
like, at all.
At no point is he like, oh man, it's my fault. Fucking Steven's dead.
Yeah,
because I didn't do what fucking Anthony Hopkins told me to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like part of that was, oh man, I was like, man, I kind of hope Alec Baldwin's character gets it.
Gets what's coming to him.
Yeah, because like they probably would have been fine if he had done that. Like they might not have even run into the bear again.
Right.
The rest of the time, if like it hadn't been put onto their fucking trail.
Yeah, of course. Right. A man eater, right? Once it tastes the flesh of man, it just wants more.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Well, and I love too, like there's all those payoffs, like because that guy's like saying all that stuff earlier about like leaving the food out, and then like specifically talking about Kodiak bears, which makes sense because they're native to the area and everything. But then you see all that panning out, like the food being left out, same as like the bloody rags being left in the air.
Yep.
And then even like that kind of coming back around with the paddle with like the panther and the rabbit on the opposite sides, and then Anthony Hopkins coming back is like, why is the rabbit unafraid?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, they were so much smarter than the panther.
Oh yeah.
It was really cool. I thought the pit way, I thought that's how they were gonna try to kill the bear the first time.
With the deadfall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they tried to kill it with some kind of like Ewok style like flail swinging down from the trees.
I was waiting for the Ewoks to pop out of me. But they didn't. Yeah, they weren't there. And then he speared it. Oh, man. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Pretty intense.
Yeah.
And then they ate it. So that's what you do.
You're not going to not eat a bear.
Oh, you're already hungry anyway. And he's trying to eat you.
Power.
Oh, man. Yeah,
they did manage to, you know, like tan the bear's hide, skin it, the whole nine yards real quick.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins knows what he's doing.
Thank God for Survivor Man Billionaire.
Yeah, no, that's what I loved about his billionaire character. He really, you know, how many millionaires and billionaires would just, freak out? Like, we were talking about, you know, like a millennial out in that situation, immediately trying to check in on, hey, I'm in Alaska.
It's like, well, check in on GPS Facebook. GPS isn't working. Foursquare. Is Foursquare still a thing? Do people still use Foursquare?
Yeah. I don't know, yeah.
Checked in at the middle of the Alaskan wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, look at this, I'm mayor of the Yukon Territory. How cool.
Yeah. And I'm sure one of the cool things after everyone thinking you're dead for a couple of days would be checking all those sweet Facebook posts.
Yeah, right.
Just, like, see what everyone really thought of you.
I'm here with Bart the Bear.
Yeah.
I'm here with that dude from Grizzly Man.
Yeah. It was very good. I'm really glad we watched it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I just had a brain fart where I was going to go next.
So the wife.
Yeah.
Elle McPherson.
Yeah, Elle McPherson. Mickey, right. Anybody else think it was just real strange that she left the receipt that she bought both watches on, like, in the box that she gave to her husband?
It might not have been her. That might have been, like, the store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, they probably, like, saw the engravings, or they might not have even looked at the engravings, whoever packaged it. It's been like, yeah, it's the same person. What does it matter? Like, also, if you're going to try and do that, why would you ever buy them on the same receipt?
Right.
Like, you would think that they would be better about, you know, hiding their tracks.
Right. Yeah, that was. But it's so interesting that he found it right when they get, you know, they got back to that house. They got back to civilization.
Well, he had no reason to look there before.
Right. Yeah.
It's like he had his knife on him all the time.
Yeah.
And then he didn't go to it until he needed paper to get the fire going.
Mm-hmm.
So it absolutely made sense. Because I was trying to remember. I was like, because it's been probably a couple of years since I've watched this. I was like, fuck, man, I forget how he finds out about it. Like, does he punch Alec Baldwin and steal the watch and read the engraving? I was like, oh, no, the receipt's in the thing.
Yeah, right, it's right there. Right.
Oh, and then so good that he, when Alec Baldwin's in his death, not the, you know, the last part where he collapses and is dead and his watch is out there, right? And I was wondering, there's the watch. Is Anthony Hopkins going to look at it? What are they going to do with it? Instead, he just slowly puts it in Elle McPherson's hand when he gets back.
Yep.
Ooh, so good.
It's like, I know.
I know, man.
It was you. You broke my heart.
Right? And then the last line, right, with all the reporters are asking him, like, well, which was a little ridiculous. Like, I don't think that's the first question reporters ask. Yeah.
How did they die?
How did your friends die, Mr. Morse? And
need you to relive all of this right this second for us, please.
Yeah. I really thought he was going to do the old Alec Baldwin died of shame. I think we all just know that is why Alec Baldwin
died. Oh,
absolutely.
He died of shame there right at the end. But it was interesting. They died saving my life because now he's going to start his life all over again. Because it really is like, you're that rich, you don't know who's wants what from you, like you're saying.
Right.
Well, on top of that, too, like, that was like, he could have just straight up been, it was like, Alec Baldwin died because he was banging my wife and he tried to kill me and he fell into a fucking deadfall.
Right, yeah,
but he's
No,
I'm going to spare him his dignity, like, and tell these people, like, he died a fucking hero, which is, like, a big thing to do for a guy that not only was fucking your wife, but also was going to kill you to continue fucking your wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really came out as the big character what do you call that? Character building? I don't know. He was a good guy.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He's great. Like, he's hands down, he's the best character in the film.
And the foreshadowing with all that, too, the old man who accidentally started splurging out these, all he needs is $30-40 million to build it, and that's when Hopkins the first time is like, he realizes you don't know what people want from you.
Yep. He's just like, right. Sorry, I just thought you were being courteous or whatever he says.
And then of course I forgot about the foreshadowing with the birthday surprise, right? Where he's making his wife a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And who's wearing the scary bear costume? Alec Baldwin.
Right. Yeah. Who then later dies the exact same way the bear did.
Yeah.
Crushed under his own weight on
a
wooden
speared.
Spike.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh man, there's so much symbolism. Man, Mamet is pretty good.
He's fucking great. He's a phenomenal writer.
And of course, that's probably why he pulled in Alec Baldwin, because he gave Alec Baldwin the juiciest part in Gary Glenn.
Well,
Rose,
wrote
right?
specifically that part was written for the movie too. Like that character, I think, was created specifically for the movie. I don't think that character's
in the play
in the stage version.
Yeah, he just wanted to get Alec in there for 5 minutes.
It's a 5 minute
scene, but it's like the most taut.
Oh, it's hands down. It's the most memorable scene in the entire film. Like it's a well written movie. It's a great movie, but like. Almost no other part of that movie like pulls you in like that scene does. Like, because Alec Baldwin is just so rapid fire with it. Like, anytime the characters think that they've got any kind of footing, he fucking shifts the playing field on them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so good in it.
Yeah, well, and it's a classic monologue too for like theater kids and everything. Like, for auditions and everything. If you can nail that, then.
Well, it's great too, because in that movie, like, Alec Baldwin's character is clearly like in control the entire time that he's in that scene. And in this movie, like, he's usually the one freaking out and being like panicky and being a pain in the ass about everything. And then like just not being like a good person, like aside from like the obvious thing of like wanting to kill Anthony Hopkins. Like it'd be like Bill Paxton's character in Aliens. Like the guy that's just freaking out the whole time and like just fucking damaging everyone's calm throughout the entire moment. Yeah. And like that, then that's Alec Baldwin this entire movie's like, what are we gonna do? And Anthony Hopkins is finally just like, do you want to die out here?
Yeah,
like you want to die, like I don't.
Right. Well, and because it is kind of weird, because Alec Baldwin was almost likable there when they had Steven still.
Yeah,
because he was kind of like that for Steven, because Steven was the one freaking out. Steven was the weak one because he was black, right? And then, with Baldwin, once Steven was gone, and again, Baldwin never had any remorse about it or anything. Yeah, that's when he became the freak out guy. But for a while, like, he was saying all those funny things. You know, I thought he was like, I thought his character was going to come through. But I liked the twist of him ending up as soon as they got back to booze and civilization and a gun.
Yeah, like he's just like, all right, well, time to go through with my plan to kill Anthony Hopkins here.
So crazy. That was his plan all along. That's why he dragged him. And so, Alec Baldwin said that Elle McPherson was not in on it, even though she was the one who encouraged Charles to go with them to find, right?
Which I think that was coincidental.
Think about it. Yeah, because
I don't think, like, I don't think the plan was ever, I don't even think Alec Baldwin planned on killing him.
You don't
like
think
on that trip.
Because he was the one who had the erratic idea, like, I want to find this guy. Let's go find this guy. And then, you know, it was like, come on, Charles, you come with us. And
sure. But that, like, he even said, like, later on, you know, like, if he, like, when they were in the wilderness at the very beginning, is like, if I kill you, then I got to kill Steven. Like,
right,
he's a witness.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
and Steven knows how I like my coffee.
Yeah. It makes
I like
that whole
my women.
Joke.
Bitter and murky.
Yeah.
Great
so, like,
stuff.
I think, like, obviously Alec Baldwin was planning to kill him at some point. I don't think it was during that trip necessarily. I think it just kind of like unfolded, and then like circumstances like presented themselves in ways like, I have a gun now. I can do my plan.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody else out here, which like would have been curious how he would have explained it or how he would have even gotten out of there.
Right.
Because, like, if he would have taken the boat, he probably would have just kept going further north away from people.
Oh, right. Yeah, he probably, I mean, he needed Charles to survive. It's just so weird that he would even kind of switch on that. I don't know. Maybe it was the booze.
Well, I think he got to a point, too, where he thought, like, they were pretty much home free, even though they were still at a cabin in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're at the river. We got a boat. I'll be fine now.
Right.
It's like,
hopped up on bear blood.
Yeah.
Bear madness.
Yeah. Bear madness. Yeah, and I really thought, you know, after Alec Baldwin fell into the death, what do they call it?
In the deadfall.
Deadfall.
Yep. Yeah, I really thought that I didn't know what Hopkins was going to do. Leave him there? I knew he wasn't going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Was leaving, but then he actually went to try to save him. And then mm-hmm. I thought Alec Baldwin died first on that table, but then Hopkins turns out has been taking him
yeah.
on mm-hmm. the canoe. And it's just, yeah. There's so many times you think someone's going to die, and then they end up dying later.
Yeah.
In that movie.
And it's weird, too.
Like, I thought Steven was going to die in the plane.
Yep.
Hopkins saves him. Yeah, it always ends up being Baldwin's fault that people die, including when he dies.
Yeah, it was on him. Like, because even, I think Charles was genuinely trying to warn him about the deadfall before he stumbled into it. Because, he was trying to, and he just kept on, was like, shut up, just shut up.
Yeah.
And then he's like, watch out for the deadfall. I was like, I think he would have said that even if he hadn't fallen into it.
Right, right. Which would have resulted in his certain death if he told him about it.
Because, that was the thing. Like, he was trying to, talk him out of it, but, he was almost resigned to it, too. It was almost, he just accepted, I might get shot and die out here in the fucking woods. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hopkins is he's so calm and collected in that.
Yeah.
You know, that there is, I don't know if that's more Hopkins or if he's creating a billionaire character or if this billionaire character is inspired by, you know, some of the older school billionaire guys who
sure.
have places in Wyoming and stuff. They don't they know all about hunting and wilderness and stuff. But I don't know if they could survive.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing.
Something
like
this.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not even that he specifically knows so much about the wilderness. It's ingrained. He just remembers everything he learned.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. It makes sense if you're going to the wilderness. Why wouldn't you research it? Why wouldn't you? And a lot of it came from that book that his secretary got him too, that he loses in the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
There was that one shot of it just sinking down into the
bottom. That was there. And then you see too, he leaves a shotgun in the plane too. Because when he grabs the bag with the flares, the bag lifts up and you see a gun sitting on the floor of the plane, which probably would have been helpful. At some point.
Would have been nice.
Was it a flare gun or was it an
actual... It looked like a shotgun.
I think it was
like
a gun.
It looked like... Yeah, because flare guns usually look like toy guns. I was like, no, that's a gun. Which makes sense. Again, because if you're in the wilderness, even if you're in a seaplane, you get stranded, there's nature to contend with. So it'd be foolish to go anywhere without a gun.
Yeah. I wonder how many days they were actually all out there. I mean, how many times did the sun go down?
I want to say it seemed like at least 3 or 4 days passed.
You know, one of my thoughts was where are they pooping? Or do you not have to poop because you're not eating?
That's true. The first time we see them really eat anything is the bear.
Right.
Because they catch the squirrel, but then
chopper.
They start walking away from it.
Yeah.
Almost like they completely forget about the fucking squirrel.
Of course.
And then he's
the chopper.
And then he's trying to catch the fish when the bear attacks
and then
him
bear's
the next
there.
To last time. Yeah.
Ooh, that's kind of another neat thing where Mammoth must have been I'm not going to have meat the whole time until they eat the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that too, that also just shows that Anthony Hopkins, even for the knowledge he's learned, he doesn't know everything because the first thought that should have crossed his brain was hey, this is a water source, where everything will come for water. Because even though the bear was there, it may just have been, hey, the bear's thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Hopkins just hanging out there trying to bait a fucking fish with his gold pocket watch chain.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, that's right. Gold. What's the line he says about gold?
The whole world lusts for it like that.
But it makes sense too, because that's why fishing lures work, because they're shiny, because they reflect and they catch the fish's eye, and that's what pulls them for the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay on because usually there's food attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you use the lure to catch their attention in the first place.
Yeah.
So everything you did made sense. It retained a little bit of my learning in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
and
that's what
working at summer camps.
I was trying to think of all the things I know about surviving in the wilderness, and I think all I know about surviving in the wilderness I've learned from The Edge.
Now
I know what to do. Don't sleep with my friend's wife.
Yep.
Don't bring a friend who is sleeping with your wife.
Yep.
And bury the bloody rags.
Don't fly airplanes into geese.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot that they warned them about that too at the very beginning.
Lots of great foreshadowing here.
Oh, and that's the thing too, is the first time I saw this, I was you would never get me up in one of those planes in the wilderness ever. Mm-hmm. Because because they explain it too. It was like it's common enough that they have a name for it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
bird strike.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. I was like, nope, that is too. Nope, I'm not gonna go anywhere. I'm already here. Like, we take a helicopter everywhere.
Yeah, and that is how, like, when I was just in Alaska, that's how you have to get everywhere. Is
yeah,
flying,
because it's so seaplane. Fucking yeah. huge.
It's huge in the mountains. Like, there's just, I remember we were in Anchorage first, and I was like, so are we driving down to Juneau? They're like, oh no, there are no roads that actually connect Anchorage and Juneau.
Yep.
You have to fly or get on a boat or something like that.
Yep, it's like, nope, take a boat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we should take boats. No bears in boats.
Yep, no bears on boats.
Bears on boats and geese can't sink that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also, I feel like it's a lot easier to come out of a boat wreck than a plane wreck.
Yeah, I guess so.
Boat capsizes or starts sinking, like, you're already on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Plane fucking fails. You got some distance to the ground, and you might not even land in the water when right. it does. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, if they'd hit land instead of the fucking lake, the movie would have been over right there.
Yeah.
A real short film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, kudos to that pilot who, in his last moments of life, was able to...
Because, yeah, the plane was essentially a glider after they got hit, so all he could do was fucking steer it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, that could have been a lot worse when they hit the water. But instead, it just took him out.
Yep.
Oof. Started with four, and then...
Then there were three.
Ooh, and then there was a bear.
And then there was a bear. Yeah. Then there was four again. Then there was three.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was three again. And then, boy, that bear. Yeah, man. He must have just really... Humans must be quite tasty. He got the dark meat, and he was like, I want to try the white meat.
Yep.
Gimme.
What's the thing? I think, too, one of the theories that I've kind of had about this is the cabin that they find, I think that whoever lived there, like, got killed at some point.
Oh, that's interesting to think about. And that's what turned that bear into a man-eater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the cabin, when they get there, like, it's fine, but, like, it seems like no one has been there.
Yeah, I think they even say no one's been here for years or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the other cabin, like, the dude's gone bear hunting, but, like, you see him at the very end of the movie. He's waiting
right.
on the dock when Anthony Hopkins
oh,
gets
back.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, he's right
so
there.
So that dude's there. But, like, the cabin that they find after is... It's been abandoned for a while. Like, the deadfall, like, is covered in snow, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's probably taken some time.
Right. Oh, that's right. Man, I just love that, I mean, it just switches so hard once they get back. Once they get to that cabin, it's like, mm-hmm. all right, you've survived the wilderness, and now it's back to our goddamn society mm-hmm. problems.
Well, that's, too, that's the thing that I love, because, like, this kind of has that vibe that, like, The Dark Knight has. Where when I saw it the first time after Batman, like, finds the Joker and stops him from blowing up the boats and everything, he was like, all right, yeah, the movie's got to be over, right? And then it was like, oh, no, here's another half hour because now he has to go after Two-Face.
Right.
And, like, I genuinely, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, I feel the movie's got to be over, right? Same thing with this one. Like, as soon as they kill the bear and they're putting everything together, I was like,
yeah,
cool, what do we got, like, 10 more minutes? And then I was like, oh, no, we got this really tense confrontation between them in this fucking cabin
yeah.
right after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just adds a whole another layer to the man versus nature, because you're
yeah.
right. Then it switches and it's man versus man.
It's like it's almost its own, like, third act, like, just after they kill the bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Classic Mammoth strategy.
Yeah.
Three acts, right?
But, yeah, like, because you would figure it's like the bear, like, that's where do you go from killing a bear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You go into cuckoldry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And murder.
Back to killing each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I loved it. And then he fell into the
deadfall.
The trap that was set for the bear
mm-hmm.
in the first place. Because he was the bear, just like it was foreshadowed in the beginning. He was wearing that bear costume.
Mm. Every act had a bear.
Every act had some type of bear. I loved it.
Good.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it as well. Where do you think they settled on The Edge as a title from? Like, where'd they get
yeah.
that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I was reading, the title was, it was originally called Bookworm, because Anthony Hopkins' character likes to read, which is an awful fucking title.
Yeah.
For this movie. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and I'm very glad they changed it. But also, like, that's the thing, too, is it just, that tells you nothing about the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, generic enough that it could be cool, but, like, it's so bland. Like,
mm-hmm.
you see that, and it's like, all right, well, here's Oscar bait or some bullshit. I'm just going to skip this. Like,
yeah. Well, even The Edge is pretty vague of a
sure.
name, because there's no cliffs. There's no...
Right. I mean, I was wondering if it was like the knife edge, because there was the whole thing with the knife the whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can talk about like, balancing on the edge of a knife.
They've been taken survival, to the edge of whatever. Their humanity.
That's
what I think. That was my takeaway.
Sure. I'm trying to think of better titles right now. Something like...
Bear Fight.
Yeah, that's what I'm just thinking. Too Much to Bear.
Hatchet, except it's a knife.
Yeah, yeah.
The pilot dies the same way.
He did, yeah. Black man versus bear. Bear wins. Yeah. No, I just think there's so many... I have way better titles. I mean, because there's so many cool little things about it, right? With even the story with the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And the rabbit with the pipe, they could have called it a rabbit with a pipe.
Rabbit with a pipe.
Yeah, or rabbit versus panther. Even all those would have been more symbolic and still had nothing to do with what actually
exactly.
happens.
Yeah, which I think is why the edge works. Like, mm-hmm. you know, again, like it's still kind of a general title, but it yeah. makes sense.
It's and it is weird that this movie kind of did get buried by all the other good movies that were happening in 97.
Sure, absolutely.
97, 98. So
well, and also too, I mean, by comparison, for like a lot of bigger, especially by something like Titanic, like this is in terms of like its production budget and everything, it's pretty tame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
You got. I mean, I don't think Bart the Bear works cheap, but
oh sure,
he must have someone demanded him he get first credit after the movie's over. We go right from Anthony Hopkins' face to a special yeah. thanks to Bart the Bear.
That was an interesting choice there. That was just as I was starting to realize that like the wife pieced it together when he gave him the her the watch. They just like throw the bear credit, and I was like,
I was reading one of the reviews for this, and the person's like, movie's great, gets to its 118-minute end runtime, and then they shoot themselves in the foot by listing Bart the Bear first in the credits. I was like, this was your grievance with the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this was your nitpick? Fuck yourself. Are you kidding me?
It's a very nitpicky nitpick.
It's such a stupid thing to nitpick. One of the things I loved I was reading also, too, because Anthony Hopkins had also worked with Bart the Bear in Legends of the Fall, which I have not seen, but I understand that there is a pretty intense scene with the bear in that movie.
Oh, that's the one with Brad Pitt?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Anthony Hopkins, he did a lot of his own stunts, and he basically treated Bart the Bear as if he were like another human actor. Like, and he just kind of watched him a lot, just observed him.
Oh, that's so cool. So Hopkins, maybe he was the one who demanded Bart the Bear get that credit.
Maybe.
Right there. He was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Bart did a great job.
Well, Alec Baldwin had nothing but great things to say about it, too. Mm-hmm. He said, like, the editor of the film actually did a really great job by making Bart the Bear seem terrifying, which they absolutely did, because Jesus Christ, that bear is scary this entire movie.
They did a fantastic job of actually like catching the bear's facial expressions. Like usually it's just like growls and claws.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I
it was a very expressive bear.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys of course heard me comment while we were watching the movie, the bear's face looked like John Kasich's.
Yeah.
His little lip hanging on
there. Lip sticking straight out. Yeah.
Well, because the first time you see the bear, like there's that moment of like panic because it's a fucking bear.
Yeah,
but like you look at his face and like his lip is just hanging out like, and then like he's almost indignant that there are people in his fucking area.
Yeah. John K sucks. it was a very expressive bear for sure. Love that little jowl.
Oh, so good.
Such a great jowl he had.
R.I.P. Bart the Bear.
Is he dead?
Pretty sure.
Oh,
this
man.
This was one of his last films.
That's why he got
very well have been why he got the credit.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it's the same.
He was a Hollywood legend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everyone wanted to work with Bart the Bear.
Yeah. Bart the Bear was the most well-known bear around that time, like as far as like for those roles. So it makes sense.
It does make sense.
You know, it's the same thing. You fucking put Charlton Heston in your movie. If he dies that year, you fucking say thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
The last Star Trek did it with Anton Yelchin.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. And they're going to have to do it with Carrie Fisher for this next Star Wars.
Yep.
And then who else? There's a bunch of them where they do that. Gladiator, right? Because Gladiator, both Richard Harris and...
The
other dude. We're all ashes and dust, that guy.
Yeah. Well,
both Hollywood legends.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but they both died right after they made that movie.
One of the most tragic examples of that posthumous first credit is Street Fighter the movie.
Raul Julia. What a terrible! He was so talented. I can't believe that's the movie he went out on.
Oh, God.
Although I will say, I mean, he's the best part of that movie.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. He saves that movie.
That dude digs his heels in and commits to that fucking role.
He was like only in his 50s when he.
Yeah, he died a lot younger than he should have.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Raul Julia, Bart the Bear. 90s were rough, man. I tell you.
Yeah, I think his Street Fighter credit was Vaya con Dios, Raul.
Oh, okay. See. So,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You know, honestly, you know, since we're talking about the bear, movie that I was thinking a lot about where we were watching this was the Revenant,
mm-hmm.
the newest, or not newest, I guess, but who's that? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, DiCaprio. Yeah,
he finally got his Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bear in this movie was more frightening than the like impersonal CGI bear they had in The Revenant. Mm. To me, at least, I don't know.
Sure, I've not seen The Revenant. Yeah,
okay. I only saw the ending on the plane or something.
Okay,
when
he's
fighting with Tom Hardy.
Yeah,
at the end. So I missed all the rest of it.
Yeah, I've heard that bear scene is intense, but like
it's brutal. But
it's CGI.
It's CGI. Exactly. It's you ever see the bear's like face? There's no, you know, kind of a
no real life
run
to
up
it.
To like the attack either. Like it just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh fuck, bear.
Yeah, Bart the Bear. You know he's real. There's another killer bear movie that was made in the 70s. It was modeled after
is
Jaws.
It Grizzly.
It's Grizzly.
Yeah.
And that one is a real piece of garbage. I remember when I was making my killer raccoon movie in college, I was doing a lot of man versus nature movie research, and Grizzly was one of the top ones. It was like, oh, this thing's terrible.
Oh yeah, I've heard Grizzly
it's just
is
like,
bad.
Oh yeah, like they think he eventually blows it up with a rocket launcher at the end, and they just literally cut from the bear roaring to CGI fire or something.
Oh Jesus!
And then it's a slow zoom out at the end, and there's just a little fire pit. It's just so bad. and all the scenes in that where the bear is killing coeds in the woods or whatever is literally just like they cut to like a claw and then the bear roaring and then blood on the trees and the person screaming, you know, just very close cut. So there's nothing to that one at all.
Jesus.
Yeah. So Grizzly's terrible, and this one's a lot better.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. But if you guys want to see Grizzly sometime, let me know.
Oh man, I kind of do. I'm kind of curious.
I lost my copy. I actually gave what was his name? Not Harvey Waxman. The producer has got like a weird name, and he puts himself. He's like a reporter in the movie. He's got his little cameo. I want to say his name's Harvey Waxman. I think that was a
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, his name
Harvey Firestein.
Yeah, Harvey Firestein.
Oh, thanks for this copy of Grizzly Travis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With Harvey Firestein as the bear.
Okay, I'm going to eat you now. Oh, whoa, whoa.
Oh, boy.
Cool. I think we're at a point. Going to dip into a little segment called Gritty Reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Where we each come up with our own recasting of the movie and any little twist we'd put on it to give it that classic gritty 2017 grime on it.
Oh yeah.
So it's Pat, we'll start with you.
Oh god. I'm always terrible at these because I haven't seen any movies. You know, honestly, Anthony Hopkins, you know, he's fantastic because he's Anthony Hopkins. But I don't know, there was something almost a little bit too poetic about everything that he does throughout this movie. So I'd probably want to recast him. And I think it'd be interesting if he was recast as someone a little bit younger. You know, there was a huge age difference between Baldwin and Hopkins, or at least we were supposed to see it.
And yet
as
they
that.
Were all able to always outrun the bear.
Right.
I was like, Anthony Hopkins looks pretty old. Is he really? Well, the bear's running after him.
He's in shape, though.
He stays in shape because he's
great
rich.
Shape. I remember seeing him on Conan, and he was talking about that.
I mean, you can tell that he's very rich and very in shape because they don't eat the cake at his birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or drink hardly any of the alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would be interested to see Hopkins recast. Probably someone just as, like, insufferably British, too. Maybe a Benedict Cumberbatch-type character.
Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Eddie Redmayne versus a bear out in the wild. Okay,
he just becomes the bear eventually. Yeah. He's such a good actor.
Also, I'm always interested in one of the Baldwin brothers being recast in anything that Baldwin does.
Yeah. Did you accidentally have the Freudian slip?
Yes, Billy Baldwin.
I kind of want to see Billy Baldwin in Alec Baldwin's role.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, where's Stephen?
Oh, poor like, Stephen.
Give me the keys, you motherfucker. I do also want to throw in the idea of Alec Baldwin playing this character again, but as Donald Trump in the Donald Trump character. So maybe it could be the billionaire is Donald Trump played by Alec Baldwin, and then Billy Baldwin plays Alec Baldwin, and then I want to throw in Chris Tucker as the black guy.
Yeah,
he's like, "Ow!" or you know,
yeah.
He'll have lots of hilarious things to say about that bear before he gets eaten.
There was like an extended 5 minutes where that poor guy's just being like thrown around by the bear and is screaming bloody murder. So yeah, I could see
Tucker
fitting right in.
I will say, like, for it being as violent as it is, like, it's not excessively gory.
Right. No, I think that's why my grandma was okay with me seeing it. Again, I'm so glad I could finally follow through with her wishes of seeing this movie.
Right. The only part that was real gory was the part where Hopkins untightens the tourniquet on Baldwin's leg.
Yeah,
and it starts to spurt.
That's right. I saw
and that's when he realizes, like, oh, it's hit the artery. Like, there's nothing I can do here. I have to get him out.
Yeah.
And I kind of did like, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then Hopkins kind of sits down and they kind of zoom out and it's just him and Baldwin's like passed out on the table. I thought Baldwin died right there.
Yeah.
And Hopkins was figuring out how to get out of there, but instead he kept trying to save that horrible piece of shit.
Yeah. I think if I were going to do a recast, I would go with Walton Goggins as the character of Steven. just because I love Walton Goggins.
I love
and,
good Goggins.
And
yeah.
I don't think he gets nearly enough bigger parts. Like,
well,
he
survived to the end of Hateful Eight.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true.
I thought it was going to be Kurt Russell and Samuel Jackson surviving to the end.
That's what I thought. And then
Instead
Kurt Russell.
Goggins.
Bam, yeah. So, and it's funny you actually say that, because for Anthony Hopkins, I would go Kurt Russell.
Oh, for sure.
And I would go Channing Tatum for the Baldwin role.
Ooh.
Because Tatum's another guy that I think has legit acting chops, and I don't think he gets enough chance to stretch him.
Sure. So you'd have Goggins, Tatum, and
Kurt Russell.
And Kurt Russell. So you pretty much just have Quentin Tarantino remake this movie.
Oh, no. I'd still leave the David Mamet script. I don't want Tarantino.
Oh, yeah, use Mamet's script.
Yeah, I don't want Tarantino having them talk about some fucking movie I haven't seen half an hour
or
whatever.
Oh, the dialogue would be ridiculous.
it'd be insufferable.
Yeah.
But I think it would be fun to have Channing Tatum like still play that same kind of role, but like because he's a little bit younger, you know, like he's more... Like, because I think, like, even when Alec Baldwin freaks out in this movie, like, he still, like, is kind of keeping it together.
Yeah.
More surprisingly than you think, like, a big city photographer would.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's a very Baldwin role. Like, the entire time, even when he's supposed to be losing it, he's making all these dumb jokes.
Exactly.
And ending every single one of them with, "Hey, Charles."
Yeah. Which, like, I think
real
is...
shitty day, eh, Charles?
Yeah. Which, like, I think is his coping method.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I feel like there would be so much more freaking out. Like, with someone, like, who's so out of their element.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, my first thing was, like, what would millennials do in this situation?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of my thought with, like, the Tatum. Because, like, even though, like, he's still, like, he's close to 40.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's still, like, I think he younger-ish. Looks younger mm-hmm. and obviously plays to a younger crowd. And I think that would be an interesting dynamic.
Because,
like, that, too, like, Alec Baldwin, like, he's not a bad-looking guy in this movie. But, like, Channing Tatum, objectively, a great-looking guy.
Right.
Like, even if he's not your type, like, Channing Tatum, good-looking dude.
Yeah.
So, it'd be like, you know, seeing Kurt Russell, like, older, who, also, not unattractive, just like Anthony Hopkins, but, like, you could see why someone would be like, I'm banging Big Trouble in Little China, but I could be banging Magic Mike.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be kind of an interesting twist on that.
Yeah. Wow. And I would also throw into that reboot, you got to have some cell phones in there with their GPSs.
Sure.
I imagine they get wet and wouldn't work anymore after the plane crash.
Unless they have one of those life-proof cases.
Yeah, if it was waterproof, then their GPS could work for a little bit, and then I guess eventually
they
could
all have,
charge it, obviously. Yeah.
They could have specialty engravings on the back of their iPhone 7s that they're flipping out about.
Yeah.
To Channing for all the nights.
Can I see your phone, Channing? Wait, that's not Kurt Russell, sorry.
That's Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's mix all of our different
ideas.
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Let me see your phone. I'm Donald. I'm Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump. Let me see your phone, Channing. Let me see your phone.
No. That's my Channing Tatum.
That's pretty good.
Still in the plane.
Cool. Well, let's get into favorite moments, favorite scenes. Travis, let's start with you.
It was beautiful scenery. So I liked any of those big, wide, you know, they're walking and you see the mountains. I loved anything that had to do with that. But obviously for in terms of story, my favorite scene was when they get to that cabin. No, actually, I like it when they work together to kill the bear, too.
Yeah.
The demise of Bart the Bear was pretty intense, and I thought it was well done. But, you know, in terms of, like character arc and everything, when we interact three, when they get in that cabin, I really liked. I liked, you know, I also, I don't know if you guys saw me, I put my hands up in happiness when the chopper spins because he thinks he's missed it again, and then the chopper, you realize that they did see him, and then they turned.
They wanted
to
bang well
and,
then,
and I, you know, I put my hands up and silently cheered. And then, you know, that immediate reaction if he turns around and realizes Baldwin's dead.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff a lot. Hopkins is great. You know, he's still acting, right?
Oh yeah,
he's still doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But even in this, like he's older. So
yeah. Well, and this, I think honestly, this is hands down probably my favorite Hopkins role.
Really? Even more so than Hannibal Lecter? Everyone loves him for that.
Man, he's great in Silence of the Lambs, but like he's such a small part of that movie too, though. Like it's an amazing character.
Right.
And he does great with it. Like, and everybody kind of forgets that. Like it's the same thing as like Heath Ledger in Dark Knight.
Right.
He has 10 minutes of screen time. Like he's a very small part of that movie.
But
which is testament to how great that performance is for sure. Mm-hmm. But like
Usually what gets you those supporting actor Oscars.
Exactly.
Is when you're like, you know, even like Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Barely like, in it, but so funny.
But
every
that
time.
Was like the breakout role.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then she got nominated.
Yep.
Yeah. So, overall, I really, really enjoyed this. Yeah. And those key scenes were a real part of it for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed any sort of scene where they were facing off with Bart the Bear.
Yeah.
The actual part where they kill the bear, the noises that the bear was making every time it got stuck with something just like hit me a little bit too close to like the soul. So, those were a little, strange, but anything where they were just filming the bear itself. And then again, when the helicopter has noticed them and he turns back to Baldwin, and not only has Baldwin died, but he's died face first in
that watch,
the hand is out and the watch is right there.
Yeah.
So you can tell they put a ton of thought into every piece of camera work they did in this.
Sure.
It does make me wonder that the director, Lee
Temahori.
Yeah, what else has he done?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that.
Die Another Day.
Oh.
and then also Mulholland Falls, which is like the single worst gangster movie ever made.
Oh,
yeah.
Sounds awful.
Poor Nick
Nolte. Terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, poor Lee, I guess.
Yeah.
isn't working anymore.
Yeah. I think for me, everything you said pretty much the stretch from when they kill the bear to the cabin scene. That's it for me. Like, that's hands down the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like the best.
Yeah, yeah. Good camaraderie between the characters.
And just how the dynamic shifts in the space of like 25 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
So good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Let's wrap up. Plugs, Pat?
I guess this coming out on Friday, a week from today, then, will be our new noise over at
Defining Skin
on the 14th, or I'm sorry, the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
21st of April. We got the festival coming up. I don't think I have any other shows in between then. But,
cool.
I'm doing the classic Whiskey Deep with old Tommy Plute.
Yep.
On Friday.
The night that this comes out.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this right now, come to Zeno's and get drunk with me and Tom. I'm doing the roast battles thing on 420.
Yep.
Which I'll be pretty roasted. So I'm going to be battling myself. and then it's back to New York. I don't know. I got dates in Montreal set up, but nothing really else after that. But follow me on Twitter, Travis Irvine USA.
Tight. Cool. Monday, April 17th, Pop Culture Mixtape at Mikey's, New Noise, and Then check out additional stuff for the festival at WhiskeyBearComedyFestival.com, WhiskeyBearComedy.com. Stay up on all of those. And I think that's it. So let's wrap it up. Travis, Pat, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for showing us the edge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
Requested a agua.
Zoinks. All right.